WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine is underway. The world is on edge right now. Ukrainians everywhere have been speaking out against what's happening. We've even seen demonstrations here in Charlotte. Today we're asking, what is it like to watch friends and family struggle, suffer, and fight from a world away?
We've been the center of bloodshed for hundreds of years. And guess what? Shtyanomela, we still have not died.
We're talking to a man living in the Carolinas who has loved ones in Ukraine right now. This is WBTV's Good Question. Welcome to WBTV's Good Question. Alex Giles here. We have a special edition and in-studio guest here, Mike Reiselak, who's from New York, lives now in the Carolinas, and has family connection to Ukraine. Many relatives who live in Ukraine. And obviously, people across the world are watching the situation and what's happening in Ukraine right now, but no one's watching it closer than those who have a close connection to people who live and work in Eastern Europe. Mike, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
First things first, I wanted to hear a little bit about your personal journey. I know you told me over the phone that you were born here in the United States. Your parents are from Ukraine, though, correct?
Yes. My parents were immigrated. In terms of family history, both my parents and my wife's parents are pure Ukrainian. During the Second World War, my father, the Russians were literally crossing over. The Germans were attacking Ukraine, and my father had to swim across a river to escape the Russians, who were on one side. The Germans were on the other, and literally bullets were flying over his head. He did successfully swim over the river. He ended up in German hands and spent the rest of the war in a forced labor camp in Germany. And my mother, as the Germans went through Ukraine, what they did is they went through the villages and they took the young adults and sent them back to their work camps. So they weren't concentration camps, but guess what? You were a forced laborer. You were doing whatever they wanted you to do in their fields, make their ammunition, whatever. And you there was absolutely no freedom. So fortunately, my parents were in the English sector of Germany, because if you were Ukrainian and were in East Germany, that became occupied by the Russians, because they always felt that we Ukrainians we own you. So that my relatives that were in labor camps in the East Germany never got out. There was a procedure. You had to have sponsors. And then my parents immigrated through Ellis Island. Older sister was born in Germany, and my wife's brother was also born in Germany. And we didn't, our families didn't know each other, meaning I met my wife well after the fact, obviously. So anyways, my mother was pregnant with me when she came through Ellis Island. And to this day, I hardly ever get seasick because I was swimming in utero on the long boat trip, which was actually a military boat, and they made them work when they came over. They had to paint, clean, whatever they did, because they didn't have money for passage. So they had to work their way in there. So they came through. I was born in Rochester, New York. We had everything. The church was very supportive of us. There was actually a pretty good-sized Ukrainian community in New York. At that time, I believe the statistic to this day, there's the most number of Ukrainians are in New York State, mainly Yonkers, New York City, etc. So anyways, we had nothing, like the typical immigrants, everything was secondhand. We didn't have any dishes that met, nothing. It was just my parents came over with two wooden trunks. And to my son's credit, who is very proud Ukrainian too, his coffee table in his home to this day is the trunk that my parents used to immigrate to this country, with their name and the address of where that trunk was supposed to be delivered.
Wow.
So, we're very proud of our heritage. We're very happy to be American, to be free. I was the first in my generation to graduate college. And in one generation, we have progressed. Both of my sons ended up going to Yale University, which normally, if you know anything about Ivy Leagues, oftentimes it's legacy. And to really get in there, you have to be very good. So I'm very proud that we've come that far as a family. And we tried to instill in them the values of our fatherland, our love of our country. We go to a Ukrainian church. My father was the church choir director. Our services were in Ukrainian and in English because this is America. And our heritage is very important. A lot of our decorations in our home, and we share our culture. We're proud of it. But even more so now, we're proud of what's going on in Ukraine. The resilience of these people, the patriotism that they exhibit, I can't even imagine. I've been questioned by people, would the Americans do this? Would your kids do this? Would you do this? Would you leave your child? You tried to send them to safety, and you send them to another company, and you stay and fight. We're making Molotov cocktails. It's unbelievable what they're doing. A lot of people wouldn't know this, but our president's name is Vladimir. And loosely translated, what that means, Mir means peace. And Vlad means you're a leader. So loosely, peace is for sure, but it's loosely translated, the leader of peace. He's being thrown into a quagmire. He is not being, the world, thank God, is stepping up. The support that I see all these massive parades and Times Square, Budapest, all over the world. It's heartening to me that we do have that support, because the most important thing now that has to happen, you don't realize what freedom is until you're in a situation where you may lose it. And these people understand that. It's really because we've had only periods in the last over 1,000 years that we've actually been free. We've been subjugated. We're part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. We were part of Poland. We were part of Lithuania, part of Russia, part of the Soviet Union. We're not. We are a unique culture. We are a unique country. So we've had periods of freedom. But at the same time, because we've lost it so many times, this fight is for freedom. We need to do this. We need to stand with it. I am encouraged that the world is standing with us. And I only wish all of our leaders would do the same thing. They haven't shown it. I know I'm going to upset certain people, but all I do is speak the truth. My values are based on the history of my family, what I've learned, that anything in extreme is dangerous. And what's happening now is extreme. It needs to be pushed back.
When did you realize that this most recent invasion was actually going to happen? I got the sense that a lot of people didn't think he was actually going to move into the country.
Well, in my perception, Putin is very smart. The analogy that I've heard, he's a chess player. Unfortunately, now he became a poker player. So then he warned us what he was going to do. And he's always done that. He's veiled threats, et cetera. And some are not veiled. Some are overt. Anyways, in this case, because he believed so strongly that the Soviet Union was one of the biggest failures that's ever happened to the Russian people, he's trying to recreate that. He's trying to create his own legacy. So then when other countries support him, it's like, you're an enabler of evil. Therefore, you need to be called out as evil. And we cannot allow that to happen. And the leaders of the West have failed Ukraine. In the 90s, after the dissolution of the Soviet Union, we were the third largest nuclear power in the world. I'm talking Ukraine, because we were part of the Soviet Union, and it made sense for them to put the missiles closer to Europe or other people that they perceived as enemies. So it was negotiated that we would give up our nukes because we are, in fact, a peace-loving people. We were given guarantees, and most people don't understand this and do not know this. It's extremely critical that they do know this. We were given guarantees. Apparently, there's not a treaty, but we were told, as good as citizens, give up your nukes. We will defend you. They lied. Where are they? What have they done? They've forsaken us. And I'm talking the U.S., Britain, Germany. It's like, you guys talk a good game, but your word on the world stage means nothing. Putin understood that. You didn't push him back strong enough. You did. You allowed him to do this. Now they're starting to do it. But isn't it a little too late?
I wanted to ask you what it's like seeing what's happening right now. And you have family and friends over there.
It's extremely, your timing is excellent, because on the way over here, I just received a call from my first cousin, who does live in the United States, still up in Rochester. And she was just talking to her sisters, and it's been very difficult. The communication is starting to break down in the countries. Her one sister sent her family. They've escaped. They weren't successful because my family's from the western part of Ukraine. So they're relatively near to the Polish border. They literally walked to the Polish border, approximately 40 miles, with their entire family, and were successful in escaping and going to Poland. Her other sister has spent the last few nights in her basement, no electricity, fortunately still has water, and she spends the daylight hours going to the cemetery, visiting her family, and crying and praying for what is happening to Ukraine, what's happening to her family. Their kids, who are my cousins, are basically my age, their kids are also serving in our military right now. Nobody knows what's going on. Will they survive? Nobody knows. It's a war. And will this become scorched earth? The man doesn't want to lose face. So is he going to resort to even more hostile tactics? It's very, very possible. I just read he detonated a banned vacuum bomb that sucks the oxygen out of the air and basically liquefies everything in its, I'm talking humans. Mm-hmm. It's like, talk about brutality. This is Satan, okay? This needs to be stopped. Our national anthem, it starts with Shteno Merla Ukraina. I'll translate what that means. Literally, it means Ukraine has still not died. Why would a country start their national anthem with such words if they have not been persecuted for so many years? We've been the center of bloodshed for hundreds of years. And guess what? Shteno Merla, we still have not died. It's important that the world support us. It's important that our leaders not do the politically correct decision, but do what's right for humanity, for freedom. That's the most important thing. And I ask you and all your listeners, what would you do without yours? Be there for us.
Would you like to see militaries from U.S., Britain actually mobilize and move into Ukraine and assist?
That's a very difficult decision. We've just applied for NATO, so I understand their hesitancy. But as I said earlier, this is a poker game. We didn't start this game. You play the cards that are dealt you. And this man has crossed the line. If you don't stop him now and do whatever is necessary to stop him, then guess what? This will continue. This tyranny, this dictatorship, this thief of freedom. He's arresting his own people already. This type of leadership has to be eliminated from the earth. We talk about, you know, my generation was the Vietnam generation. Peace, peace marches. It's a pipe dream unless our leaders lead us in that direction.
Your loved ones in Ukraine right now, what's your level of concern for those folks?
Even though they're thousands of miles away, they're my blood. There's a family tree there. There's a family history. And guess what? I'm losing some of those limbs. They're gone, annihilated from this world because of a Satan that we've allowed to happen. It needs to stop. And the world, I'm encouraged, is standing up. God bless you for all of you that are doing it. I think it's wonderful, and I hope there's a lot more people like that out there that will help this world change really for the better.
We've seen a few demonstrations in Uptown Charlotte.
Yes.
You took part in at least one of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So why did you want to be a part of that?
I wanted to show support. I wanted to be there for my people and also to show the American population that this is important. I've agreed to this today in some small measure because this may magnify that little, there was only, you know, 300-500 people, whatever it was, which is pretty significant because there's not many Ukrainians here because there were non-Ukrainians there too, which is, again, very encouraging. But it's important that I be there to show, first of all, my son, my wife, my grandson, and my son-in-law, that this is extremely important, that we need to do this, we need to step up, and we need to support the Ukrainian people that are struggling, that are being penalized for the evil nature of one man. Like I said, you play the hands that dealt you, so now we got to go forward. It's not a good hand, but now we have to take that hand and try to go forward and make it the best we can for our kids, our grandkids, and make this world safer and create a better culture of humanity that is of one of love and peace, not guns and political might and favored statuses, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, we need to get there. And hopefully this is waking up a lot of people's eyes. So this bad hand, I try to be an optimistic person, will actually evolve and into a very good hand for us long-term. Short-term pain, tremendous pain, but hopefully long-term gain.
Absolutely. We've seen, you know, even local companies saying, hey, we're no longer going to sell this Russian-made product or this Russian vodka. It seems like people are trying to do whatever they can. What do you make of that?
I love it. It's a small pushback, but any pushback that helps to achieve the goal that I just said, and if anybody can do their part, you know, you're a leader. Our leader is right there in the street, unshaven, in a t-shirt, not talking down to people, trying to motivate them in times of crisis.
I did want to ask you about Zelensky before we let you go, because this is the first time a lot of people around the world are being introduced to this man in a situation of crisis. What are your opinions of Zelensky?
As I said, his name, Volodymyr, means leader of peace. I am so impressed with him. The bravery, you know, he's separated from his family already. You know, to be out there, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Klitschko. He was the heavyweight champion.
The boxer, yes.
Him and his brother. He's the mayor of Kyiv. He's there. Lomachenko who was also a middleweight boxer. He just went back to Odessa. These people, they're going knowingly and staying and or returning to a country that's at war. Would any of our listeners do that? Or how many would?
It's a great question. I think a lot of people are asking themselves that. What do you say to your loved ones when you do talk to them in Ukraine? What do you say before you hang up the phone? What's the message to them right now?
I use a simple prayer that served me quite well my entire life. It's very simple. I pray for strength and I pray for wisdom. I pray that and I talk to the Almighty every day and ask for that. So my definition of strength is not necessarily physical strength. It's mainly mental strength to deal with whatever life throws at you, adversity, financial, the inflation rates or whatever, doesn't matter. So it served me very, very well. And wisdom, the wisdom to be able to make the right choices first for my immediate family, to secure a relatively good lifestyle, secure, make them safe. And I think if our leaders did the same thing, so bottom line, to answer your question, that's what I tell my relatives. In times of struggle, we need to be strong, be it the death of a loved one. It's difficult. Again, those are the cards we are dealt, but we need strength. We pray for that strength and the wisdom to how to deal with it and learn from it, especially the bad situations. I've heard politicians say this often. With mistakes, it's a great learning experience. But unfortunately, too many people don't learn. We do the same thing generation after generation. Again, this should have never happened. So that's what I tell my family, my kids, ever. I pray for that strength. I pray for that wisdom. It's important that we do that to make the next generation strong and not give them the tools that they need to be successful. Life is tough. It's very difficult. So we all need that strength. We all need what works for us that will improve the quality of our life, number one, and the people that we love, number two.
Mike Rysolak, an American with Ukrainian heritage, living here in the Carolinas. We appreciate you stopping by to talk about this difficult situation.
God bless Ukraine. Slava Ukraina. But guess what? God bless this country too, because I'm an American first.
We appreciate it, Mike. Thank you, sir. Thanks for listening to WBTV's Good Question, a podcast from On Your Side Tonight. If you have a good question, email goodquestion@wbtv.com or use the hashtag OISTonight on Twitter. Watch On Your Side Tonight with Jamie Bowl live on weeknights at 7:30 on WBTV. If you can't make 7:30, you can watch WBTV anytime on Roku, Amazon Fire, or Apple TV. WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jess Dyer. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz. Production coordinator is Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Advent Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.